Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Lobsher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today. In today's show, we're going to look at how to use your business to create liquidity for passive real estate investing. My guest in this episode is Chad Hudson. Chad is the owner and founder of Savoy Companies, which specializes in buying, selling, building, and remodeling and owner financing real estate since the year 2000. Chad is the sole owner of Savoy, and he's done over 100 transactions and held over 40 rental properties. Over the years, Savoy has moved away from single-family, condos, and small multifamily to passively investing in large apartment syndications. Chad's current business strategy is to continue investing in apartment syndications and move into a sponsorship role while continuing to grow his custom home business known as Savoy Builders. Chad has been involved in several syndications as an investor, currently holding 2,047 units worth over $158 million. I have three Cashflow Ninja community announcements. I just created a free Facebook group for all of our listeners. You could go to cashflowninja.com/Facebook and join our group or find us on Facebook under Cashflow Ninja Community. If you found what we do valuable here and want to support us, there are two ways to do it. Please go to iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review our show. This really helps with iTunes algorithms and will help other people find the show. And if you'd like, please send us a video testimonial recorded with your smartphone to info@cashflowninja.com. We're building out a new website, and I would love to feature our listeners and their testimonials. The top 10 videos will receive Cashflow Ninja swag and will be featured on the new Cashflow Ninja website. If you're interested in joining our investors group, you can do so at cashflowninja.com/investors group and fill out an application form and or email me at info@cashflowninja.com to start the discussion to see if you're a good fit for our group. And if you're living in the Philadelphia, Bucks County, and Southern New Jersey area, we are hosting a live investors meetup event every month in Newtown, Pennsylvania. For more information on the monthly event and information on how to join us at our next live event, you could go to cashflowninja.com/events. If you are like many of the listeners of the show, you're always looking for unique ways to protect and grow your hard-earned capital. But sometimes that's easier said than done. The key to investing late in the cycle is identifying favorable opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. That's where our friends at ASIM Capital come in. Since 2011, ASIM has helped more than 300 accredited investors allocate more than $20 million to mobile home parks, self-storage, and workforce housing due to the ability to generate asymmetric returns while protecting their investors' portfolios. If you're interested in learning more, head over to asymcapital.com. That's asymcapital.com to get instant access to their investment offerings. MC Lobshire, the host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast and also the president and chief wealth and investment strategist of Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate cashflow banking, also known as infinite banking, with their business and investments. If you're interested in learning more about how we create strategies that integrate cashflow banking and investments to turbocharge them, you can access a video series at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Chad, welcome to the show.
MC, I appreciate you having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with my listeners?
Sure. I graduated from Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas in 2000. Very fortunate to be able to go to a fine university and very fortunate to get a scholarship there. I played baseball there and You know, I came out of college with no debt. I learned a great amount of skill set at that university and hopped right into the entrepreneurship route. I knew all along that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I've always said, if you're going to take risk, it's early, the earlier the better. And that's what I did. I took some risk and fast forward 20 years, here we are. And I've got a great portfolio and great marriage and I'm very blessed, but I met my wife at Texas A&M University as well and met her my last year there. She decided to continue her education and go into law school. And while she was in law school before marriage, I started my journey on a startup company and really scaled that business. But, you know, MC, during that whole period, I needed to invest and I was very, very, intelligent about it. I learned, I hitched my wagon to the right people to ask questions to and just kind of soaked it up and started investing in real estate when I was basically 25 years old. Over time have, continued to buying and selling and flipping and really creating a niche that I liked. And I was very fortunate with the other company that I was growing as well. I had, cash to invest in different avenues of real estate and really found out what I liked and what I didn't like and made a few mistakes along the way. Nothing that crushed me, but just grew up in it and really learned from it. And to this day and age is I'm able to do that full time now after selling my original company in 2016. So that's kind of where we're at now. And like I said, I'm continue to be blessed, but it's been a journey and a lot of hard work as well.
Absolutely. You mentioned baseball, pitcher or catcher or hitter?
If I was a catcher, I would have played a little longer, but I was a left-handed batter, left-handed hitter, left-handed thrower, and I'm 5'9". So I was center fielder, left fielder. And if you're 5'9", there's a lot of 5'9" baseball players. So I learned real quick that, I basically took my limitations about as far as it could go. I was fortunate I got to play in the College World Series, and that's going on right now. But played at a great university, got a scholarship. And, I never really had my mind wrapped around pro ball. Baseball's getting really big. College baseball is getting really big now. But we were taken care of, and pro ball is just like the movies, Crash Davis, Bull Durham. It is not sexy at all. But I was ready to move on, and I walked away from the game on my own terms, and I knew I was ready to go make some money and turn to the next chapter. Fortunately, a lot of guys stay in the minor leagues too long and don't know what direction to go afterwards. So that's another example, MC, of kind of asking the right questions and hitching my wagon to the right people and really seeing mistakes that other people had made across their career. And so I got out. But to answer your question, I had some wheels and I played center field.
Very nice. Yeah. So I can relate to a lot to that because I'm 6 foot and playing representative rugby. There's a lot of six foot rugby players and bigger, right? So I'm one of the smaller guys. But it's the same thing too. I can relate. And I see a lot with the minor league baseball because there's a certain league and level that you play into that eventually you get to international rugby, then you get overseas contracts, and then you start making the money. Baseball seems a lot like that too, where I think you could get stuck in the doldrums, like you mentioned, playing triple A ball for a very long time before you actually get to, what do they call it, the show, right? Before they get to the show and actually they get a payday. But I love that angle because being an athlete myself, I know the skill sets and the mindset translate into business. What were some of the biggest things that you grabbed from there to take into this next chapter of yours that you went into?
It was, I still believe in sports. Now it's kind of gotten a little out of hand, in my opinion, but I think sports are good for kids. I hate seeing dads or our moms getting real aggressive with 7-year-olds. You just want them to be a kid. And then if they have the talent to move on, great. If they don't, then obviously the next chapter. And back up a little bit. That's what I was talking about with guys not understanding when that next chapter was. So funny story, I prayed for girls when I found out my wife was pregnant, because I see how much sports means to the local parents. And now it's just not fun or wholesome. It's kind of a business, and you feel sorry for the kid. But I still believe in sports. I think it teaches a lot of great, it teaches a lot of great character. Backbone and so forth. You get beat, you learn how to lose, you learn how to be a good sport. And you mentioned rugby, whether it's rugby or equestrian or whatever it may be. I think it's good for kids to compete. I think it's good for them to, I think it's good for first, second, third place. I'm not a big believer in the participation trophy. If you get your butt kicked, I think then you go back to the drawing board and realize that you need to get better and work at your craft. And that was huge for me. It grew over into my entrepreneurship skills, and I knew all along that's what I wanted to do. So I took the same competitive financial background and educational background to this, what I'm doing now. And that's, so it's, as far as answering your question, it's huge in my success, and I totally believe in sports at the lower level to teach kids as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love it. There's no participatory trophies at my house too, so there's no greater lesson learned than losing, and going back to the drawing board, figuring out what happened. Try to be better the next time, and try to push yourself harder the next time. So that's the great thing that
working your tail off. There's a lot of kids out there working at their craft and same in business as adults. So if you're not working at it and you're gonna it's gonna show up, whether it's in the office or whether it's in the field, it's gonna show up in your game.
Absolutely. Now, from an investment and a business perspective, is there a framework or a checklist that you have used in building wealth? And maybe if you want to touch a little bit on your philosophy as well.
I would say, first and foremost is personal responsibility is crucial. Education is crucial. I think you want to surround yourself with smart people. And that was kind of what I did early on, and do the right thing. MC, I mean, it's pretty common sense to if you're going to go into business, you need to do what you say you're going to do and show up on time and just common sense type things. Pay your bills, have good credit, but when I peel the onion back and look at a particular investment, it's pretty common sense type stuff across the board, whether it's a fix and flip or meeting with a customer on a new build or looking at a syndication as a passive investor or raising capital for an operator. I look for very, very, I say similar and easy things that pass the smell test. And, it's common sense type things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you started small and started with single family and condos and moved into multifamily. Now you're doing very large apartment syndications. Can you share a little bit about how you started and how you progressed and how you grew as you grew as a person and as an investor and a businessman?
Absolutely. I just like anything else in life, you got to have breaks and you got to have light bulbs that kind of register. And while my girlfriend, wife now at the time, was in law school. I needed a place to stay. So, you know, I had the proper down payment. I wanted to buy a house. I was very adamant that I didn't want to rent. So I immediately bought a new condo and had a good friend live in there and basically pay the mortgage. I say that was a light bulb moment for me, and I wanted more. And that's that was a great play by myself, and just you know, I don't want to say luck, but you know, it was just good intuitions to make that decision for a 25-year-old or 24 at the time. But so I started with that, and that really caught my eye, and the idea of someone else paying your mortgage really took off. And I was fortunate. I had another company. I was able to, like I mentioned earlier, you know, use some excessive income and invest. So I started buying more and more and more. And as a youngster, you know, your ego's huge. I wanted 100 units. I wanted to manage all of them and get to know everybody. And then chapters kind of take over in your life. I got married, of course. I still was burning both ends of the candle, no problem there. But when I had my first daughter, I realized, you know, it wasn't scalable. And I got up to about 40 plus units and slowly started selling off items. I had a lot of smaller plexes and knew that there was a greater way, smarter way, and really started networking then. I started reaching out to people like yourself. I started listening to podcasts. I started really self-educating on the larger scale things, such as large multifamily, and realize that that's where all the smart, I say this, but a lot of smart people are in that space. A lot of people that don't know much about, as far as real estate as they just know how to make money and know how to scale. So I started meeting people. I had a lot more experience than them. I felt like I had just as good of a resume, but I was a little late to the game. And so, but again, back up a little bit, I wouldn't trade my trajectory for anything. It taught me how to deal with folks, how to deal with tenants, how to look at property. And so over time, I've sold off all my units. I've got a couple of smaller plexes left, but I'm up to about 2,500 apartments and syndications that I'm involved in, and I would like 10,000 doors. And you know, I've met a lot of great syndicators, and I'm starting to raise capital for one in particular, and enjoying that.
Fantastic! And you still have the custom home building business as well.
Yes, sir. Savoy Builders. I've built homes and since 2000, and really enjoy that. That's my day to day operation. It keeps me busy. I enjoy it. I'm passionate about it. And you know, I obviously got a teammate I mentioned earlier. My wife, she's an in house counsel for a company, and so love the process of building. It's a team sport, just like multifamily is. And I've got a great crew. And you know, back to the sports item that taught me MC how to put this team together. And I've got a great team that helped me build locally. And you know, it's a lot of fun. If the project's too big or I don't want to do it, I'm able to say no. And if I feel like there's enough meat on the bone and I like the family that I'm going to build for, I like the project, then I'll do it. I'll say yes. But, you know, all that took time. All that, the resume building took time. And you know, I'm in a good place and I'm blessed to be here, and I'm blessed to have time for the family. And to me, at this particular chapter, that's the most important.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where you earn your spurs, right? You build up a portfolio, you get that experience. And by the way, Chad, what I've seen with you as well, and this is a blueprint that I've seen with very successful people. And actually Kenny McElroy said it very, very well, better than I could summarize or something that I could come up with, but basically that your business create the liquidity and the real estate creates the wealth. And I see that over and again, and that's what I see with your blueprint as well, where there is a business that's creates the liquidity, partners with other capital, and then scales a real estate and invests in real estate.
No doubt. And learning along the way. And, you know, and like I said, you know, hitching your wagon to great, successful people and learning from them. But yeah, I mean, I work my ass off. I busted my ass, and I don't make any excuses about that. And I'm not apologizing about it. I mean, early on, you know, I was constantly told to slow down, but I knew, I knew after asking the right questions to older generations, and they, you know, they said, hey, don't spend your 40s paying for your 20s and 30s. And I thought that was one of the greatest pieces of advice. I wanted to work my ass off in my 20s and 30s and still continue to work. But, you know, I didn't want to be looking back and not learning from my mistakes. And I've made plenty. But I tried to learn from others' mistakes and try to teach my kids that as well.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook from The Real Asset Investor says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. The Real Asset Investor team creates value for investors looking for high yield returns from multifamily apartments, ATM machines, and self-storage investments. Their syndications offer attractive investment opportunities that produce strong cash flow, equity growth, huge tax incentives. They are truly passive and managed by a world-class team. To learn more about the exciting investment opportunities The Real Asset Investor offers, such as their multifamily, ATM, and self-storage syndications, please visit cashflowninja.com/realassetinvestor.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the United States. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Learn how to find the best deals by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com. That's noradarealestate.com.
You're listening to The Cashflow Ninja, the show helping people all over the world create monthly cash flow and achieve freedom today, not in 10, 20, 30, and or 40 years. This is the show where cash is not king, but cash flow is king. Now let's return to our interview. For folks listening now, and by the way, Chad it's over $150 million already just in real estate of doors that... that he owns. So if someone else starts on this journey, because there's a lot of folks starting in multifamily in real estate as a syndicator, they're going to want to raise capital eventually. They've got this big picture vision. What are some of the things that you would advise them to do? What are some of the things that you would advise them not to do? The pitfalls that they should avoid, some of the mistakes that you've made?
Yeah, MC, I mean, I get asked that all the time, and it really depends on the character of the person. Early on, I just didn't want to hand a operator my cash. I worked really hard for it to earn it, and I didn't want to hand that over without knowing what they were doing with it. So I wanted to self-teach, and I wanted to do every aspect in the real estate realm. So I know that's not probably progressional for everybody, and not a lot of people have time to do that. But, you know, I hear quit your job and go all in. And I don't believe in that. I think you should use your job or your W-2 or whatever it may be to continue to self-educate. And your makeup, whatever that is, if you're aggressive and want to learn and be a landlord, I have no problem with somebody going out and buying a Plex and learning and, you know, making sure it's correct. And then going obviously larger and then being a part of a syndication. But you got to have skins on the wall. I knew personally before I asked to be a part of these larger syndications that I needed to be a part of passively investing with them. I thought that was the right thing to do. And, you know, for a young up and comer that don't have a lot of money, I mean, heck, there's a lot of free education out there. I think you educate yourself first and then you jump in, but jump in with the intentions of busting your butt and going whichever direction you want to go. But I you know, there's so many ways you can go about getting involved, and it really depends on the makeup of the person and how bad they want it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's get a little bit more specific on some of the markets that you operate in. And what are you seeing these days out there, too, in the markets that that you're active in? And which ones are they?
Sure. I'm value add in the Southeast, where a lot of the demographics are moving to and the job growth. And, you know, there's a lot of great opportunities. You just got to be careful what that opportunity entails. And it's, when I say educational, and there's a lot of smart people, they've got it down to a science as far as where people are moving to, crime rates, et cetera, and so on. So, I'm not afraid of a declining market. I think markets are different everywhere. If Texas is a great market right now, but I feel like it's overpriced right now. So I'm in Atlanta. I'm in Memphis. I'm in South Carolina. I'm still in Texas and still looking at deals in Texas but mostly the Southeast. And that's where I'm at pretty heavy.
And what are you seeing that's going on right now? We've discussed a lot on the topic of market cycles and asset cycles and the economy and so forth. What are some of the things that you're seeing in those markets?
Just job growth, stability. I would say stability is key, and job growth. I love seeing job growth, and I love seeing the data from within. Within as far as what companies are moving there and the demographic shift, how many people are moving, how many people are moving to that particular city. And so, back to the stress test. If it passes my stress test, I feel like it's before I raise capital, I got to see others. And that's back to the operator that you trust and feel comfortable with. And align with, that they've got good stress test skills, and they're not in it just for one-offs or buying this 200 unit. They're in it for long term, and they've got a good, they got a good track record as well. So that's kind of as far as researching the actual particular play in hand. There's a lot that goes into it, but those are the keys for me.
Great. And being in the home building space as well, what do you see the future of real estate? Obviously, there's a lot of technology involved these days, in property management firms and so forth. But just in general, what are you seeing?
I would say the building aspect is probably lax as far as, the IT I would say that particular part of real estate is behind, but I think they're always going to need a builder. They're always going to need a general contractor. Back to the trust factor, generally in a down market, you'll see a lot of the smaller or the ones that aren't all that the skill set lacks, you see them go away. But as far as my local demographic where I'm at, I enjoy it, and the market's still good, and I'll still put product on the ground even if the market did slow down. I mean, that's I've got a pretty good reputation, and I've worked hard for that. But as far as I'm close to Dallas. I see cranes, and generally that scares me when I see a bunch of cranes. And I'm starting to see a lot of cranes in Texas, and that's taught me a lot from a multifamily standpoint. As far as the flip side is investing, and I generally slow down or not make a play when I see that type of outlook. So I would say they all go hand in hand, and that's why I wanted to self-teach myself just about every aspect of real estate, so I could really, really make a good educational decision about my investment, not only with multifamily or the fix and flip, but the home building as well.
Great. Now, one habit I've observed from wealthy and successful people is that they're always studying new subjects and learning new skill sets. What are you currently studying and what new skill sets are you currently learning?
Oh, I'm listening to guys like you. I'm constantly listening to podcasts, which I have to pinch myself sometimes when I get, I've listened to so many people. And then I started getting asked to be on. I feel like I got a pretty boring story, but, you know, I've been asked to do quite a bit locally, and I got asked to teach an entrepreneur class. And so, you know, I'm like anybody else probably that you've had as a guest. The Purple Book, Robert Kiyosaki was huge. I love The One Thing by Gary Keller. That really, really, I got to hone in and focus on what I was good at. I tell people never stop learning. Once the light bulb goes off and you find what you're passionate about, and you know that you need to get involved, or surround yourself around with smart people, ask questions, and continuing to learn, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be real estate, but whatever you're passionate about, you need to continue to educate yourself about.
Absolutely. Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations, and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
MC, great question. Great informative question there. I've heard your show, and that particular piece of this show provides an awesome value to all your listeners, and I appreciate you asking that question. I would say, it has to do with money, but again, broad term there. I would say, learn financial literacy. Not only be intentional with your money, because at an early age, you might not have much, but you can educate yourself. And that goes on continuing the education and educate yourself about it. And then, I made it a point to educate my kids early on about it. And they're still young, and I still talk to them about it. I'm pretty passionate about that, about teaching the kids to be productive citizens and learn to grow up, take control of their future and accept responsibility. So I say financial literacy, number one. And, back to, I think your greatest asset is time. I'm real big on that. And before you say yes, a lot of minutia out there. Before you say yes, find out the REO on the initial question. Make sure it makes sense, and stay away from all the bullshit and all the drama. I think that's huge. But I think lastly, I got to tell you, I love your show. And I think the best answer to this question, you say it, you say it at the end of your show. And you mentioned at the end of your show, if you can live a life of purpose and passion on your own terms, then to me, that's the definition of success. And so I would say live a life of purpose and passion on your own terms, like MC says. And in my opinion, if you can do that, then you've reached the pinnacle.
Fantastic. Chad, where can my listeners learn more about you? Where can they follow you? Where can they reach out to you? And how can they stay informed of all of the projects that you're involved with?
Sure. SavoyCompanies.com, SavoyCompanies.com. And Chad@SavoyCompanies.com is my email. I'm just now getting into the social media scene. I'm behind on that. I'm a little old school, but I'm on LinkedIn heavily. Love that platform. At Chad J. Hudson on LinkedIn, and then at Chad J. Hudson on Instagram as well. I do a lot of photos for my building, Savoy Builders, on there. But if I can add value to anyone, I have no problem. I've learned from a lot of people. A lot of great people's passed on information to me. So if I could add value to somebody, I have no problem with them reaching out.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners.
MC, I appreciate you having me. I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I think what you do is awesome. And I appreciate your show. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint, followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Thank you again for joining me on the Cashflow Ninja. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here, please subscribe, rate, and write a review for our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. Until next time, my friend, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.